There are three benefits in the main. The housing.
Yes, thanks. It's the three benefits in the main. It's housing, education, and health. We've invited, because we're discussing those benefits, and that they are delivered, especially the first two, health and housing are delivered through the land function departments. We ask that those two departments be represented in this meeting. So that we discuss and get to understand the problems, if there are any challenges, if there are any, and with a view of trying to navigate through those challenges and problems. And on the housing side, for example, we're told at some point that the department has a target and a budget, but the delivery on those targets was dependent on the Department of Housing. Now, if the target is not met, like it happened in the last two financial years, I'm not pretty certain with the last financial year, 2018-2019, I'm sure they will give us the statistics, because they now do have the audited performance information. In the last 2 years, the department could not meet the target. It underperformed on those areas. But Minister, thank you very much, Honorable Nasser. So the department couldn't meet the target on housing. And obviously the issue is that the Department of Housing itself did not play ball. So get into the details of that. On the health side, and the eye issues, of course, have been mentioned in one meetings, and it was preferable that health should be delivered through the military hospital. But we don't have military hospitals dotted all over the province. So the issue of access is a challenge. So obviously, the Department of Health would be an ideal partner in delivering health services to the beneficiaries. And so we thought today we must have that meeting where both departments are in present to go through these issues. So before I start, let's first do the introductions, and I'm sorry, Tabo, the chair of the committee. I will introduce the minister. The minister is present. She is known. They are more. Oh, okay. They are. They are. They are. And correct. I'm doing this because we're meeting the Department of Military Veterans as a department for the first time. Sorry to notify this.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My name is Thabo Mutle, a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Marke, a member of this committee.
My name is Chirizu Nyai, the Whip of Health.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Zwalele Nyonzo, member of the committee.
Good morning, Kubus Marie, member of the committee.
Sam Matias, the member of the committee.
Maria Kishelembe, the member of this committee.
I think we are done from this side. Let me introduce the support staff. It's Aluto, it's here, and Brian, our committee secretary, and Dr. Ianse van Respect, the researcher, and then next to him is Mr. Daniels. Peter Daniels. Thanks. I think that takes care of the introduction from the side, from our side, and let me hand over to General.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, and honorable members. I will probably start with my colleague or my immediate client who's coming from her.
I am from Human Settlement. My name is William Chia. I had the program. Thank you.
I'm retired Lieutenant General Derek Nguyen from GMV, King DG. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bolelo Mutsi, Department of Military Veterans, Chief Director, Socioeconomic Support.
Good morning. I'm Bolisa Muroro from the DMV and King DG Socioeconomic Support.
Good morning, my name is Kumba Zatsuguda. I'm Director of Communications in the Department of Military Veterans.
Good morning, Brigadier General Sangwen from the Minister's Office.
Good morning, Makani Mwakim from the Office of the DG Military Veterans.
Good morning, Mula Ramadana from the Department of Military Veterans. Director responsible for military veteran housing program.
Honorable Minister and honorable members, my name is Jimmy Mabalani from the National Department of Human Settlements. I'm the director responsible for UN military veterans and PHP. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lili Lekhaba. I'm responsible for parliamentary and cabinet matters in the Office of the Director General, Department of Human Settlement.
Good morning, honorables. I am Roy Adams from the Department of Human Settlement.
Good morning. My name is Rajima Remy, Director, Parliamentary Liaison, Department of Defense.
Good morning, my name is Susan Tavinde, PLO News Officer.
Hey, good morning, Minister. Good morning, Minister Chairperson, members of this committee. My name is Dr. Kalik Sikabura, I'm from DMG.
Thank you. And over to you, colleague.
Good morning, honorable member and minister. IG. From the Edward Kutsir from the Auditor General of South Africa, senior manager responsible for the DMV audit.
Now I understand why you are seated at the back, so we should be able to audit all of us. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, everyone. My name is David Mwisi, Parliamentary Liaison Officer from the Deputy Minister's Office.
Okay, that takes care of everyone that is in this boardroom. So now, colleagues, you are all welcome, and a special welcome to the minister. She is always with the committee, and we appreciate that honor of minister. It helps indeed. Minister, is your department. Please preface the issues. You know them. We have been discussing these issues from the time of the budget and in other meetings. And so you may want to say something before we take a fuller presentation on the issue. In saying that, something I'm sure I did say is possible. I mean, by now you should be having an audited performance information for 2018-2019 on the targets for, especially for housing, for the performance in that regard. I'm sure they will touch on that if you leave it to them. Thanks so much, Honourable Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and DDG and senior government officials. Chair, when I received this invite, the DG acting DG General was confirmed that his team would be here from the department. I'm happy that for the first time I've been invited to a meeting where both the Department of Military Veterans and the Department of Human Settlements will be making a presentation to you. Just to say, Chair, that we have been interacting with the Portfolio Committee on matters related to defense. Of course, it will now be the first time to interact with yourselves on matters relevant to the Department of Military Affairs. Chair, I am keen to listen to the Portfolio Committee and to hear concerns which you may have. But I can assure you this is one of the areas which have been very difficult and quite controversial for the Department of Military Veterans. Chair, we have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Human Settlements. We submit a list to the Department of Human Settlements. We are merely a facilitating department for provision of housing to the military veterans. So the people who really are responsible for building of houses and making those houses available is the Department of Human Settlements. But of course, Chair, in the course of our interaction, you will note that there have been challenges with regards to the actual delivery of houses vis-a-vis the amount of money which have been transferred to the Department of Human Settlements. So I'm happy that the DG is also here of Human Settlements, because in talking about housing and whether the department is able to meet its own APPs, we will have to go back and look at the amounts which have been transferred to the Department of Human Settlements vis-a-vis delivery against those transfers. The other matter, Chair, I'm sure which you are aware of, with regard to housing, even though money is transferred to the National Department, if the onus then rests on the National Department to interact with the provinces, but we interact a lot with provinces about work done, and with regard to human and with regard to building of houses, we interact with the provinces. So there too, I'll be happy to listen and hear what the challenges have been for human settlements with regard to the actual delivery of houses.
Chair, I feel I should not go to town. I should wait for you to raise concerns relevant to this area of work. The team is here. We are ready to take questions, but I'm also here. I'm ready to clarify whatever is required of me to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. And General Acting DG, may you just take us through the delivery of these two services in particular. Yes.
Just to refer to the Deputy Minister.
So, welcome to the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much for honoring the meeting. The issue has been spread out. We've made a commitment to the military veterans that will provide these benefits. And to that end, the budget has been made available, target set. But there's been challenges when it comes to the actual delivery, and yet the problem on the ground it's every day it rises. So we thought we should meet like this and go through those issues with a view of coming to some understanding as to how we should move forward. Thank you very much for your attendance. With this interest to the Department of DMV, making a presentation, highlighting the challenges, and then we'll then take it up from there. And I will then invite all other stakeholders to then contribute. General Gordon.
Thank you, Chair. First, Chair, I think I should indicate that as far as the presentation is concerned, it's a joint presentation with the Department of Human Assessment. An opportunity to look at it and then make sure that when we present from a joint effort. And then also the person who's going to be doing the presentation on behalf of us, we have decided on the man who within the Department of Defense has been handling the issue of housing and other benefits, which is happening to be Chief Director says, with the socioeconomic support, which is Mr. Musa. And of course the team is here to make sure that we respond to the questions. We should be coming from that environment. The part of the challenge is that the reason why he finds himself where he is now is a recent innovation coming from the office of the FNDG. Otherwise, we've been having a person operating in that space of housing at the level of a deputy director for a number of years. So when I came in, I looked at the size of the country and the task at hand, and the coordination which needs to be done. Then I saw it fit that at least I will be moving in there so that you can at least assist that in that environment. So that's one of the reasons then is finally being the one who's going to do the presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Let me recognize the Minister, the Deputy Minister of Human Settlement and the Leadership Colour Chair, and all members and colleagues. The presentation outline seeks to address the following. We'll give a short purpose of the presentation, the context in the constitutional and legal basis that defines our mandate. We'll revisit what is the vision and mission and values are, short background, the journey at a glance, high level, in terms of where we come from, where we are, the achievements to date, challenges faced, and interventions in relation to addressing those challenges, the proposed way forward, and a few recommendations. Next slide. The purpose is quite is quite clear, Chairperson, mainly to brief an update on progress made, challenges faced, and planned action to ensure effective and efficient, sustainable provision of quality housing/human settlement for military veterans. We want to foreground our presentation by reminding ourselves of the constitutional imperative that underpins what we do as a fundamental law of the country. In the preamble, it states that we, the people of South Africa, recognize the injustice of our past, honor those who suffered for justice and freedom in our land, respect those who have worked to build and develop our country. I think the key operational word here is firstly people, and then the issue of honor, which then suggests that it's not a departmental issue, it's a societal issue to address and honor and bring dignity to military veterans. It's critical to note for the committee. The second one is that based on that constitutional imperative, we then have an act that seeks to give expression to the constitutional imperative. And the act in section 5.1J mandates the department to facilitate and coordinate the provision of housing benefits. It's supported by the regulation 14 that goes into detail in terms of one, what you mean by providing, and secondly, it specifies certain aspects of what type of quality of house we present, we provide to military veterans. And lastly, Chair, which is even more important, perhaps, in the context of the legislative issue, is that all organs of state that are responsible for the payment or provision of benefits to military veterans are obliged to cooperate with the minister in the department in respect of the payment or provision of those benefits, which also locates in that context housing. Perhaps before we go to the next point, it is to emphasize that it requires all over the state. And therefore we also want to join the leadership in saying that we should work together with human settlements and all relevant organs, as the minister has stated. In the next slide, we just want to revisit the issue of vision, mission, and values that define our work. And primarily, we want to focus on dignified, unified, empowered, and self-sufficient military veterans in the context of delivery of health. And in terms of background, housing is being delivered as a benefit through the DMV working in concert with the Department of Human Settlement. It's a joint venture with Human Settlement being the primary deliverer, and we then give support and coordination in that regard. This delivery of this benefit started in 2012. Through the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding by two deputy ministers. Secondly, we then had, and that national framework was then followed by service level agreements, which were signed with heads of provincial departments of human settlements in 2014. Perhaps at this point we need to reflect on the fact that in the service level agreement, each province had targets and money was transferred to meet those targets. And then we experienced a particular journey, and which I want to reflect on. The next slide reflects on the journey at a glance of where we come from and where we are. As I indicated, 2012, it was more to codify the relationship and define the areas of cooperation. We started modestly by building two houses in Northwest for the Second World War veterans. And in subsequent 2012, perhaps maybe it's important that we reflect on the fact that we are beginning to implement the Memorandum of Understanding agreed upon. We then, between 2013 and 2015, tried to move to a level that's upscaling. What the DG reflected was we transferred money to provinces through the service level agreement, an amount of 46.4 million was dispersed to the Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN, Northwest, and Mpumalanga. We did make significant progress after the transfer. In 2015 and 2016, we then submitted a national list of the housing need and housing demand or request for housing from military veterans to the Department of Human Settlement. The total amount at that time was 4,990 in terms of those, the demand that was coming to the department. In 2015, 162 units were delivered in Eastern Cape and all the provinces were transferred to, against what was committed as 1,500 to be delivered. We then moved to 2016-2017, where we began to develop a strategy to address the backlog and the, perhaps the slow pace of delivery jointly with the Department of Human Settlement, under the guidance of the ministerial MINEC, let me summarize it that way, Minister MEC Forum. And we are illustrating that at that time we were able to deliver 191 houses in the respective provinces against the target that we set of 1,540. In essence, what we are saying is that the target set and the delivery done was not to the level at which it was desired. Mechanisms were put in place to begin to address that, and to the extent that in 2017-2018 we saw a huge upscaling of delivery. So we are at a point as we speak where we can safely say, with the interventions of the political leadership and the MECs in provinces, because you would understand that in the delivery of this benefit, it's a concurrent function, constitutional. And provinces started taking initiative to make sure that we deliver. Housing also came prominent in that regard. And then we saw a huge spike in the delivery of houses in 2017-2018 financial year. We present a graphic presentation and illustration of what that meant, to the extent that
we... What was the actual delivery for 2017-2018? I can see the figure there, 1,421.
Yes.
What was the target?
Yeah, it was almost near to the target. Maybe let me illustrate to say, Chair. Initially, we had set a target of 1,000 per annum, which was meant to deliver about 4,900 to 5,000, and we were underperforming. And then in the year 2017-2018, we saw a spike. Provinces moved fast. I'll illustrate the Western Cape, Gauteng, and the Eastern Cape. And the figure started, and they are at a rate of scaling up at a higher pace. Let me put this as a point to note. So we seem to be over exceeding the set target at the pace we're going now. Perhaps I'll illustrate at a later point the trend that's emerging and begin to give comfort, but it's bringing unintended consequences. So we illustrate graphically the pace of delivery in the next slide, which tells us that we will be, in this financial year, dealing with a high spike. Let me illustrate five projects for visibility. The Department of, I think the colleagues in Human Settlement will talk in detail. The target in terms of National Department of Human Settlement was, is 500 in the APP, in ours is 300, based on availability of resources and other factors. But where we sit now, the provinces have moved at a scale far bigger than our planning at national level. In the Eastern Cape, just as an illustration, 200 houses are to be built in Lukanji. In Chetty 491, we are targeting building of 491. And the program is on course.
Let's do this. I just want the target and achievement in 20, up to 2016, 2017, right? But where I miss, we miss each other, is 2017, 2018 going forward. Let's look at 2017. The target was 1,421.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Because the two departments are here, it should not be difficult to gave us a figure of what was actually delivered against the target for the financial year. I even said that maybe for 2018, 2019, because we now have performance information, you can even tell us what was the target and what was the actual delivered. If you don't have this information, because it's you give us at a later stage.
Okay. Thanks, Chef. Yes, thanks, Chef, for the guidance. As I indicated, target setting was not necessarily meshed properly. And this is what we're trying to do. In our APP, we targeted 1,000. We delivered 417 in that period.
Which period?
2018 to 2019.
The target was 1,000 and we delivered 417.
Yes. And to the extent that perhaps further elaboration can be given by our colleagues, so we didn't perform to the expected level. Now, in 2019...
I'm not quite sure looking at the diagram there. If we look at 17-18, and we look at the red line, which is the top red line, that's where the targets were. So 17-18 reflect 1,421. But the actual type and figure at this achievement takes us to 306, as compared to 186 or 1617. And then the following year, which is 18-19, the target was 1.9. But then what we've achieved is 117. So this is where we are. Now, 1920, this is what we're grappling with now, but figures will be 86 even later, but presently we're at 9. But we know that we're going to at least go to higher figures when you look at what's already on the ground. Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to assist in that term.
Okay.
Now, thank you. We seek to give provincial breakdown to illustrate the extent at which each province performs against target sets. And you would have recognized, Chair and members and colleagues, that Gauteng has ramped up a big time. And then we also then give military formations. You would recognize that we're dealing with both statutory and non-statutory.
So this is a cumulative figure?
Yes, a cumulative figure.
All right, okay.
Yeah. And then we break it down in terms of military formations with a view to understanding that we still give emphasis to non-statutory forces, and whether we are performing according to that is what we're monitoring. We also break it down to what gender aspects are and age categorization. Because in our criteria of delivery of this benefit, we said it's important that we look at age in terms of the elderly as a priority, gender as a critical element, and that's what defines our criteria. So we illustrate with those figures, Chair. So then let's move to the next slide. We will endeavor to gallop around what challenges we faced in the endeavor to meet both constitutional, legal, and programmatic imperatives. The first one we want to draw attention to the committee is in relation to the issue of proper coordination and alignment of our efforts between us and the sister department. And we've come in our interaction, especially recently, to realize that we need to strengthen the area of coordination and the area of alignment of our planning, budgeting, and targeting. We've had recent consultations with the ministry. We also had many discussions with the Department of Human Settlement, and we're beginning to develop joint planning approach. Secondly, coordination in terms of actual delivery. So we have some remedial action that we're that perhaps even colleagues in DHS will elaborate on. We also, in the problem analysis, we realize that synergy between the regulations and policy interventions of DHS need to be aligned with us. So we also have a process to deal with that. In fact, to be more specific to members, in the last 2 months after interaction with the ministry and ourselves when we went to the strategic planning session, we defined the issue of policy certainty, regulatory certainty as critical areas. We will be presenting very soon, I think, with the advice of the DG, not later than end of October, of where we are trying to strengthen that area which was weaknessed for some time. Even strategic issues are being addressed, and we're comfortable that moving forward will be there in the space. We also have identified the issue of governance mechanisms. In the past, we had the issue of human settlement for military veterans was a min-neck purview. And we are beginning to understand that it must be a standard practice that at that level there's consideration of this as a standard item agenda. And of course we're also rebuilding the accounting officers forum where the teachers meet to give oversight and direction. We also have other fora that fall below that so that the synergy and coordinated planning. My colleagues in human settlement will further elaborate because we are beset with those issues. At a programmatic level, the areas we've identified relate to the challenges of lack of a reliable, credible, and secure database. A project is underway now to begin to crack this once and for all. Some of the areas of challenge in this area were about lack of strategic leadership to give direction to database and the consequences that it has been a challenge. We do now have strategic leadership in that sector. A project has been developed which has 3 phases. 1 is cleansing, 2 is verification, 3 is the sustainability of a secured database. And therefore comfortable that finally we might bring this to conclusion sooner than later. Another challenge that beset us as we moved was the issue of managing stakeholders. I think the members will recall that we've got 8 associations. From statutory and non-statutory forces under the umbrella body of SANVA, and to the extent that our interface with that sector still needs a lot to be desired, and there's a process towards ensuring that within the 6th administration there's better interface in order to deal with the pertinent matters relating to housing. The issue of communication has been a challenge, and jointly with human settlement we're working on how we can better up the ante in relation to communication, and a strategy is being developed to ensure that there's consistent communication with our stakeholders, including interpreters. The issue of resources and inadequacy of the resources is also a challenge in relation to the budget and the demand that is there by military veterans. Through the guidance of the DG and the CFO, we are working around making sure that adequate budget within the limited resources is allocated. The issue then that we want to also address is relation to intergovernmental relations framework that must define how we deliver. One of the critical things is municipal involvement in the delivery of houses. In many an instance, we deliver houses but there's no electricity, there's no water, and to the extent that local sphere of government is now being brought to the party to come and address this to bring certainty. We are therefore appreciative of the portfolio committee to have invited SALGA. It may not be here today, but they've made it clear that they would like to intervene in order to ensure that when we deliver houses, there's also provision of service sites, water, sanitation, and. Chair, another challenge that we illustrated initially that I just want to emphasize is in relation to acceleration of delivery. I think we're more comfortable now that with the proper coordination that we're beginning to build, that acceleration will happen, and it is happening. Just to bring members to speed on this matter. In Gauteng, we're giving 200 flats in an area called Fayol. We're giving 670 houses that were to be built by in this financial year, and a household rest in peace. In addressing that, we said military veterans companies must be given priority. Military veterans companies, in terms of contracting and subcontracting, ought to give expression to that. And I can illustrate without any fear of contradiction. We had in the project called Palm Ridge Extension 10 and 12, the late Dr. Lowe, who was a military veteran, was contracted by understanding of the provincial government. She in turn subcontracted 10 companies. So we are beginning to move in the direction of going beyond just construction of houses, but empowerment economically. And we think that pilot can be looked at and replicated. So essentially what we're saying is that acceleration of the pace of delivery is accompanied by economic empowerment for military veterans. The major challenge we have in relation to delivery of this problem is invasion. We are seeing a phenomenon of escalating invasion, and when we did a diagnostic analysis to the Department of Human Settlement, it is because one, impatience has grown among military veterans that were not addressing this issue very seriously or at the level at which it has to be done. But secondly, that is matching a house with a veteran. And in the projects we're now doing is that before even a house is completed, the Deputy Minister Chwete will know that this is my space, and together with the association they protect it, and therefore it doesn't demand a lot of security from the state. And the associations have bought into it, and we are having good practices emerging out of that approach. So essentially this challenge is there, but we are beginning to have a strategy to address. By way of concluding, we are just saying that there are six areas that perhaps as a way forward we want to submit to the committee. One is creation of a legislative and regulatory and policy settings. The members will recall that the issue of the amendment of the legislation is top on the agenda. And to the extent that in terms of definition of a military veteran and therefore who benefits has become mission critical. And we want to suggest that the portfolio committee ought to be set itself with the extent at which the amendment of the legislation is done, which will then solve issues of definition and who benefits and prioritization. Secondly, as we indicated, systems and processes as well as procedures are an area that we are beset with and we are giving priority attention. Governance has illustrated that it is going to be strengthened at the level of MINMEC, accounting officers forum, etc., including operational and technical levels. And that we are discussing. In fact, we are planning to have a workshop with the Department of Human Settlement to streamline those areas of governance. Planning and coordination is an area that we are trying to improve. We had a 5-day planning session under the leadership of the DG, and in that we identified areas of strengthening our planning and coordinating mechanisms to better improve an integrated approach. Stakeholder management, we are further now strengthening the areas of interaction with association and the umbrella association, which is SAMI. And then we're also looking at redesigning our service delivery model and the structure. In concluding through you, Chair, we are saying that we'll seek from time to time guidance from the portfolio committee to enhance our efforts to improve that delivery. And critically, it is a financing model. Let me close it on a negative note. Because the country is facing economic challenges and financial challenges, it's becoming clearer that we should move towards making do with the little we have amidst an increasing demand for housing delivery in military veterans. And we are beset with that as an area of focus. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members. I'm not quite sure whether my colleague or my immediate rank wants to end before we take it back.
Thank you. We had a meeting a few weeks ago with the team, just to take stock. The numbers may look as if they are small. They are not. In essence, we wanted to factor in the number of units that are invaded in KZN, Maritzburg, Nalmapia, Savannah, West Island, Eugene. It looks, you know, it doesn't come out nice to sit and say we are developing and making houses for military veterans, but because of the lack of coordination between the two teams of linking a house to a person and the provincial structures of military veterans contest and release everything renders houses not to be occupied by that sort of people. That's the main challenge that my colleague was citing. But if one goes back to the directive which was issued in 2017, and if it was brought into the structure, but those that are really desperately need, we allocated the standard house that we are building as a department. We build over 140,000 units per annum across the country. It is not a difficult issue
for the Department of Human Services to allocate to Human Capital. To us, it's not a major issue. You know, DM, we deliver last year 145,000 units, DMG. BFG houses are beautiful. They're 45 square meters. They may not have certain things, but we are creating the strategy that they may then apply for the top up things that have moved into those houses. But the structure of military veterans do not buy into it. Now, the whole notion of finding files and customizing them to the city's credit house as specified in the contract is where the delay comes, because you must find the file. You must sell it, but then you must sell it. So it's got tension in the system. But in certain instances, it is a question of the houses are there. But the houses are more than the people that are there. And the process that
the houses are more than the people that are available in that area. Okay.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Take the simple case in the East Ranch, the Eden Park. 600 files are set aside from the East Ranch. Only 137 are available to take occupation, which means the more sites available than supply of medication. So DMV has to work through the system they have to really ascertain that they do have medical veterans that they need.
So a site for the military veteran would be a site that is able to accommodate a 50 square meter house.
All sites are equal in our if they would accommodate.
No, I'm just talking in terms of the requirement.
50 square meter.
Yeah, in that their house eventually will be a 50 square meter, because there's got to be a top up that is done.
Yeah.
That's an issue, I think. That's the norm. That's what is happening. So I say that the sites I'm talking about were actually meant for that purpose.
Yeah.
And they're not happening, they're definitely not happening. I'm saying we must speed up the thing. When the sites were there, but
the sites are there. I'm talking about the current project that's there in a good way. The MEC went out of his way to make sure that we provide 600 sites. But in terms of the DMV database, they are able to only identify 137. So they have to go around now trying to establish which other formations or which other members are prepared to come to it. In the Westland, you've got 200 units. 200 units. But the challenge is the people. The houses are complete. But there are no people in the Westland which are trying to occupy those houses. So,
but the information that you are giving us is problematic, because you are saying you are building houses. On what basis are you building 600 houses or 200 houses in certain areas? Because your delivery should be based on the target that you are given by DMV. You don't just build and say, no, they are in abundance here. Yeah, now we don't have people to occupy them. You see, that's where you are getting it wrong. Military veteran houses that you build should be based on the information that you got from DMV. You don't build out of
Yes. Let's get the presentation, because we are doing thumb tests to raise our hands within ourselves. Okay. Can we get the presentation, and then he finishes, then we can start dealing with that. Maybe in his Eunice's presentation, he might answer some of the questions. That otherwise, I'm going to get lost now, and I'm going to be tempted even to get to him.
Sure. So, okay.
You recall slide number 3 from the presentation earlier on. Did you say there were so many units projected, but the delivery was this low? And there were 4,905 confirmed for delivery by Q-Metal, we even went to breaking them down across the region, based on the list period. And housing was projected to have 1,628, followed by KZN as the biggest number, and followed by SPK in that order. So we were working from projected numbers. Then we went to our provinces, they provide. And provinces make the projection. But the challenge is always to match the people. Are the people in that space or not in that space? There's no mechanism of tracing where the people are within TMD. The numbers are there, the people are on paper. We can check that in terms of ID. So that mismatch will happen. So what I'm trying to say, Chair and Minister, is that the Department of Human Services has been fully behind this program, and we still are. We saw it as a project. We never saw it as a major program. It's not a program in the department. It's a project, because it can be done within the existing program. It's not as if you need a specific certified program to run it. And we are now aligning ourselves, and the conversation that we had and the presentation was to say, in the next 2 months, that's what my colleague was saying, up until the end of October, we'll come back here with perhaps a much better plan. A plan that says, in Sundut, the need is only 50, as opposed to the current conjuncture where the need for KZN or Etemini region, including Sundut, was a total of 650. But when you want to meet the 650, the people are not forthcoming. So that's the tension that we are working on. So we have scaled back in order to work more smarter, as opposed to saying, we're going to have these numbers of houses to build. We're saying, let's find the people first. Once we know the people are there, then we are going to provide them. But in the meantime, when those that are desperately in need, all of leading is, the associations allow us to house them immediately in the current programs that we're running as a department, so that they don't have to wait. That is the conjecture that we have been struggling with. Because then they will tell us, no, we want the military veterans house. But that house requires a different approach, because you must have a site, you must then have a different specification for that house to be built. But keep the house being built, and we can move the beneficiary immediately. And yeah, please, that can be done. So those are the tensions that we're working through. And that's why the policy shift, the directive, and the guidelines that needs to be embedded in PMG. Because the directive from national are not matching the policy framework within PMG and the acceptance by the various formations. As human segments, we don't have access to the formations of PMG. We only can work with our colleagues at official level. We don't work through any association. The only time we can access association is when they invite us to meet. Where in provinces, the provincial steering committees, they do invite the formation. But even so, with what a list that we have received, when it's presented there, the formations of the Crown say no, we don't agree. So those are the tensions we've been working through.
but we think we've got a, so we're getting to a point of solution. But you will see the trend has been increasing steadily over the years. In essence, if we had all the numbers, including the various numbers, the numbers would even look far beyond 1,000. At this point in time, those are the tension.
Thank you very much. Deputy Minister, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start by apologizing, Chair. I was in another meeting in the morning. I want to respond to some of the issues that you raised, General. That let's agree, let's not defend ourselves that there's a problem. The first problem is lack of coordination. Let's agree that there's lack of coordination, because we won't be having houses that are built without you knowing. Because I would suggest, because when you gave me induction, or when you're doing induction, I asked a question, where do you get the list of the houses that you're building? When you said the list is endless, then I said it shouldn't be like that, because we should be driven by you to say, here are the houses that you want to build. And then after finishing those houses, we come back to you. We will say, we've finished the list that you've given us in each province. But I have questions to ask, and I want us to change our strategy, because you are saying in the APP you targeted 1,000 per province. It's not, am I right?
National.
My understanding then is that it shouldn't be the same. It's not one size fits all in all provinces, because not everyone. I mean, this is a very sensitive issue. A military veteran house, it's a sensitive issue. So I want us to change our strategy of working. And I want to agree with you, General, when you say you must be given priority. That is why I say it is very sensitive, because you're talking about people that are, some of them not working, sitting at home, doing nothing. To give them a house, it's not going to make them have something to eat. I'll leave it there, because I don't want to go deep. And I want to say, Chair, let us all in our meetings invite the Chair and the Whip of the Committee of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation. Reasons, they are the ones that are doing monitoring. So that when we say different languages, they will say, didn't you say you're going to do 1, 2, 3? So I would request, if it's allowed, that in our meetings, let's invite the Chair and the Whip of the Committee to be part of these meetings. Because they will go province to province and check whether what we're saying it is, because they do evaluation of the work that we're doing. So I don't want us to defend ourselves to say it's a waste. If you say we have houses that are not occupied, it's waste. Why do you have houses? It's my report, I can't question it. But why do we have houses that, it means we did not get the list from you. So let's go back, correct our mistakes, start from afresh. And lastly, Chair, the question of coordination is quite important. If you don't coordinate properly, we will miss the point. I'm new in this department. I do not know your issues very deep. I was given all the issues. You, Mr. Gianna, you assisted me to understand this. But this is military veteran, it does not defend ourselves. Let's go back and correct our mistakes. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I recognize the Minister of Defense. I just, before I throw the issue open, if education asks public works to build X number of schools, it will say, here's the number, here's the budget. Then upon completion, works will then hand over the schools to the Department of Education. So there will not be a time when the Department of Education does not know how many schools were built, where were they built, and what was the specification and all that, whether it's for primary or for secondary, because all of that is worked out and decided upon right up front. This is a number, this is a budget, and this is the period within which you must build the school. All right? So that they keep check. Once you are done, you hand that back and say, here's the school. Then the department will then take over and then open the school. Now, Minister, the minister will not be kept in the dark as to how many sites were actually available, how many houses were delivered in a particular financial year. Because the target is set by her, the budget is allocated by her, audit the general audits her, she should be kept in the loop all the time. So I want that to be clarified before I draw the issue open. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Chairperson and all the members. Chair, I'm just a bit concerned about the manner in which Mullen presented this issue. I would have wanted you to zoom into numbers. What numbers are we talking about? So as you explain your graph, let's be clear about it. When you compare what has been paid for and what has been built, where are we? I think that's what I'm interested in doing. And I think all of us, I think the portfolio committee will be interested in that. That's number one. Number two, there's something which worries me from the statement made by the DG Human Settlement. You said this twice actually. You are saying in the case of those military veterans who are destitute, right? Houses are immediately, you can make houses immediately available. Yeah, the ones you are building. But the houses you are building for some people are not necessarily the specifications of the houses for the military. And I don't hear you coming out and saying to us, there is an effort, right? To identify space and area where you build this house. For instance, the talk of 600, yeah? 670, the ones in the East Rand. And we are very happy that military veterans will be getting these houses. Now, sitting here after what you said, I'm really wondering if, in fact, those houses are being built on the basis of the specifications which we have made, which we developed for you. I okay. If it's on the specifications of 50 square meters,
yes.
I'm happy with that. But secondly, DJ, I'm sure you'll recall that last year we were given a block of flats with 200 flats, right? 200 flats. And for some time, sure, we had a problem of getting people coming forward to occupy those. When we eventually launched that project, we had about 96 families who were readily available to occupy the flat. Why? Because never mind that people are very sensitive teaching. The veterans were saying these flats were not built according to the specifications determined by the Department of Military Veterans, and therefore will not move in. Chair, we have to engage stakeholders literally when on our needs to say, please occupy these houses because they are okay. Yeah, I mean, two bedrooms, flat with a lounge, with an open lounge, open plan kitchen, stove readily available. I mean, those are beautiful flats, right? But we literally had to go on our knees to convince people to occupy those flats because people were questioning, right, the size of the house because we had made an undertaking to literally get them that would provide them with a 50 square meter house. My worry is, in terms of the APPs, we make a determination that we provide X number of houses. And when the Auditor General does the audit, they will then look at the APPs and say, okay, you have provided housing, for instance, and they won't say housing, they say Department of Human Settlement is giving us this year 650 houses. Yeah? Our APPs, maybe they are saying 400, all right? 380, whatever. The AG will say, actually, with you've met, DHS has met the target, you far exceeded what we had expected from you. But in fact, when we set targets, APPs for ourselves, it doesn't mean housing. It means houses nationwide for military veterans.
Yes.
We're not going to move military. You know, it was a very painful process. You know, I think one learned a lot from the 200 the flat which you gave to us from housing. Because people were saying, Minister, so you are saying I should move from City Bank and move to this area. And my entire social support is in City Bank. I'm unemployed. You are now saying I should move to this area. You know, you're going to be yeah. So when you talk X number of houses, right, we have to keep that in mind. Last picture. My understanding is that even the money which we transfer to is supposedly money which should provide for the 50 square meter house. And not for the house you are referring to, which you say, I mean, you are saying, for instance, yearly, you are able to produce, to erect about 140,000 units. That's good. But that's not what we want. You should be saying to us, out of that 140 units per year, a portion, which is X number of houses, will be that which will meet the specification for military veterans, and that is the 50 square meter house. Now, I'm saying this, Chair, I didn't hear this coming out from you, that you have a deliberate plan separately from the 140 units which you deliver, which takes into consideration that you have military veterans and therefore you have to provide for a different kind of house. Now, when you mentioned finding sites, servicing of the sites, I don't know if you are aware sometimes, when you take people into sites which have not been serviced, it creates a problem for us. Let me use Isavala as an example. In Isavala, there is no electricity. It's not your fault. But it is because we built houses in an area where there is no infrastructure, so there was no proper integrated special planning. Okay? So, year in, year out, when it's that time of the year, people who are in those houses will call you and say, hey, it is because there is no electricity. And therefore people can't connect to it because there is no electricity. So I'm just saying when we in my understanding of government now, when we build, we plan. That's why they move away from housing, Department of Housing. We said human settlement, because we want something that is well integrated. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying it is creating a challenge for us, and we don't have the capacity to provide for those kinds of things. And anyway, our responsibility is merely deputy minister to deliver a list to the Department of Human Settlement, and for the Human Settlement Department to then provide housing and human settlement. I really appreciate that which has been done in Gauteng now, which is that of conducting military veterans by ear. But it's not something which should be made for one province. There should be a clear policy that wherever we build houses, in particular with specific reference to military veteran houses, that if there are contractors, there are of military veterans in the area, we should provide them, give them some a few of those, I don't know. But the point is, it creates jobs, it gives a salary to a military veteran. Mm-hmm. Currently we have a situation where when the people occupied both the flats, I actually had to direct the acting DG to make money available to FRD so that, because they were saying, we can't even buy pots, we can't even buy beds, we can't even buy dinner. Now, Nyanike, when you move a person into a house, a person will need the most basics. And your basics will be a bed, will be your pots, will be your cups, and so on. So I'm just saying, and that's not for you. But I'm just saying, let there be an effort to say in your planning, if you are going to deliver 140,000, X number will be those of military veterans. So that kunga bikhona accident, the coincidence yokuthi when there's a problem, there's a destitute military veteran, I'll put this military veteran in the houses which are already available. Kulapho bafika baphambane khona ke. They freak out because they think that we are not sensitive, we don't take their contribution to the struggle for the liberation of this country seriously, we don't appreciate them. You know, all of those things come back, and you should remember these are people who sacrificed their own in order for you and I to be where they are today. Thank you.
Colleagues, it's okay. Let me get hands. And I'm going to be parliament so that I will just go down the road. And right. Okay, yourself, Timothy, I will take the second round. And then JJ, and yourself, Griff, for human settlement, and yourself, Bakshelen, so forth, so far. I'll then take it, come back to the second round. Thanks. Mr. Timothy.
Thanks, Chair. Firstly, I must express my disappointment out of the confusion that there has been presented here from human settlement. And the same goes to the Department of Military Veterans, because they are supposed to ensure that they monitor the process very closely. It can't be, the blame can't go to human settlement alone. Because it simply says there was a disjuncture in terms of coordination of this particular project that is meant to deliver this benefit to military veterans.
Yeah.
It's very nice to check, I must say. Because indeed I would agree with the Deputy Minister, it can't be one size fits all. You might do it in Ekurhuleni for a certain number, military veteran might agree to go and settle in a new development settlement. but you will not do it in Eastern Cape. You will not do it in KZN or Limpopo. In fact, you might have challenges in those rural provinces with that approach, because you are not going to move them from their village, for an example, if you've got a service site in Kishore, for an example. It will not be possible. And these houses, at times, they need to be constructed in areas where there are no services at all. What's happening? Okay. We must not continue as with an emergency, that's why we will be insensitive. So the point that I want to raise, probably the memorandum of understanding that you enter to is specific what needs to be done, because listening to what the DG of Human Settlement is saying, they are just building houses and members should occupy like everybody else. And we are creating a problem if we continue with that approach, particularly in Gauteng, where there is high demand of housing. People are going to invade these houses because you have built not based on the target that you have. In fact, you have constructed these houses not knowing who's going to occupy them. Even that target, it means now the Department of Military Veterans, upon realizing that the houses are available, they have to run around and look for those military veterans who can occupy those particular houses. And I also want to get clarity on the issue of flats, Minister, whether flats are also part of the specification. Because whether we want to give military veterans flats, or we want, the initial intention was to, remember, when you give a military vet a house, that house comes with a piece of land. Now, in a form of flat, is that part of what you initially intended to do, and were there engagement with the military vet for that kind of an arrangement? Because it doesn't make sense to me to build flats for military veterans. The reason why you said you want to give them 50 square meters was for a particular reason. I want to believe. And houses that come with piece of land. In this case of flats, I still want to be clarified as well. But the DG then further continues to say, no, it does not mean that this number that we are seeing here means that the houses are not built. Then what do these numbers mean when they say the target was 1421 and delivered is 300? Does it mean that this is what, just for presentation, it's not a true reflection of what is happening on the ground? I just want to get clarity, because when you look at the breakdown, I don't know, these slides don't have numbers. The breakdown of provincial breakdown, it says KwaZulu-Natal 1, Gauteng 340. What does this number mean? If you are equally saying this number does not mean that there are no houses on the ground that are built. So seemingly you are saying, no, we should not be worried, houses are delivered, these numbers are not correct. Which is which? I'll just pass the chat.
No, thank you very much. And you also must be careful of giving us contradictory information. We have your audited performance information. So we've got those figures. those figures do not correspond with this. And these do not even correspond with what you're saying. Martin?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I must just be sort of brutally open here, because what I've observed is that my DG here doesn't seem to understand what military veterans are all about. No idea. But it is in the vision of the Department of Military Veterans. It's written here, a dignified, that's the first thing, dignified, united, empowered, and self-sufficient military veterans community. So all in there. It's not by the way type of situation, according to my understanding or all. These ones are poor anyway, they don't have anything we can put them in. It is said in the Constitution, honor, underline that, honor those who suffered for justice and freedom in our land. I don't think we are honoring them. If we give them houses, by the way, they will get their top up one of the good days as long as they are in there. I don't think it works that way. It shows lack of understanding what a military veteran is all about. And it's a bit disappointing. And the Section 53B1 of Military Veterans Act, I would like somebody to explain to me, that is on page 2, when they say are obliged, this department are obliged to cooperate with the minister. I think obliged to explain something else. They don't do as they wish. They are obliged. If they don't do it, it means they are doing something against the law of this country. So I would like to say, Ori, as we were sitting here, we were in a different meeting altogether. That's the meeting that should have been held between DMV and Human Settlement. Not yet, because you're talking to each other, not to the committee anyway. Human Settlement says this should have happened, the deputy minister says this, then we are just sitting here listening. That is a different meeting altogether. And I should think, in order to sort out this problem, I would say, as in the challenges and the recommendations, as a committee we are going to need your deadlines. When is the database going to be cleaned? And you'll tell us when it is going to be cleaned. When are you submitting your amendments to the legislation to this committee, because it is responsible for doing that? Those are the things that we would need. Otherwise, we are going to run around in circles. And what I would like to know, because you see, as a military veteran sitting at home on Malabar, that person doesn't care whether you are fighting each other. I don't think that is fair. DG?
I'm not going to. I need to.
But I'm talking directly to you.
Nature is.
Must I wait for you? Because no, you need to go and to so
no,
answer
many
some
people
of
from
okay. I mean, I don't know whether he's walking out or whatever.
I understand that. I understand that, but
okay.
Yeah, sure. The deputy minister is
not alone.
I don't think she's going to give the question.
No.
Okay,
yeah, I was just saying the action itself. I'm talking to him and his hands are up.
Sorry.
I didn't know what was happening.
Sure.
I thought it was a walkout. So I was just saying that a person staying in a village, Amalwao, doesn't have an idea of whether the human settlement doesn't agree with the DMV. He or she simply wants their house, wants the benefit. So the bickering won't help a person in a village. Okay, just one question. It was said that 4,990 houses were earmarked. The question would be, what criteria was used at that time? And I should think the Act has got some means test in it. Was the means test used for the 4,990? And the prioritization, how do you prioritize? Do you prioritize according to age? Do you start with those that are just about to die, because most of them die without doing anything, or how do you work it out? And the criteria would be very interesting to know if your database is as rotten as it is, how do you identify this number? Thank you, Jefferson.
The number is the number you gave us. It's 4,000. You said you gave them the list with the 4,000 nanos in mind. Okay? But you did not tell us how many of those that were identified and placed on the list were given the houses. And that then goes to answer the question, what was the criteria in identifying them in the first place? Mr. Tennyson?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Ministers and colleagues. I think if I was the Department of Human Settlement, I was going to request to go back to reorganize ourselves in terms of better presentation and better reports. I would indicate that, one, unfortunately I'm coming from Ekurhuleni, because from the a relationship point of view or memorandum of understanding, this should include the municipalities or the cities, because in terms of the statute of the law or legislation, the responsibility of the province, it is the top structure, and the delivery of the infrastructure lies with municipalities. That's one key stakeholder which has not yet has been infused in those arrangements. Some instances, MEC will come and launch a project, only to find that the municipality has not budgeted for infrastructure that they've launched. The case in point is a couple of days in Ekurhuleni. MEC come there, cut ribbons, but only to find that Ekurhuleni don't have budget for that type of infrastructure. But also, what the DG was trying to reflect is so surprising. I know there are 380 military veterans who have illegally occupied the housing, not necessarily of their own, in the Zakani area. You know. So when you say there's a missing of the military veterans occupied, I would not agree with that particular figure or that particular report. I would not. Why I'm saying this issue? Because if a relationship could also be established, because within Ekurhuleni as a metro, there's what we call the military veterans desk, which is led by ex-combatant or former military and person and so on. So it is very much important that even Tswane, Chairperson, just that the new administration in Tswane just collapsed that department because, they no longer have that structure of a desk. Immediately, new administration in the municipality take over, collapse that instrument. But the people are there. I'm saying, including in planning as well, where these houses are going to be built, the project. The military veteran structures need to be consulted broadly. I'll indicate to you why. I think the minister has this issue that you may want them to stay in area where they don't have social support. But the case in point, even there's not public transport very far towards Midval area and so on. So all I'm trying to say is that the consultation, and as other key stakeholders are proposed, you need to engage. It's a public way. Because in the manner in which you are integrating military veterans, we should also de-racialize the community, integrate the community. So that contest will also help because public works will have a lot of infrastructure and land which will be utilized, even in urban areas, because we should not put them in a periphery so that they can't even, the opportunity even to get employment or closer to the areas of employment are not really affected in the process. The other key issue, to address these issues of the getting the military veterans to be able to participate in constructions and so on. The example we gave of the late Tandi, she was already in the workforce. She didn't have to. She was appointed basically not on the basis that she's going to construct the house of the military veteran. She was a key player in the industry. So the decision to do that are taken, let's say, by the respective municipalities, not necessarily to build those for military veterans. So the key issue I would propose, it needs to be a key project in which the DMV are also involved in determination. It can't just be, even if it must be a project, which is inclusive even in the decision-making process, who get to do this work, the involvement of the DMV is involved. Otherwise, it will be the late comrade turned in a million or zero in a million. So the other key issue is that I think we're trying to paint a very glorious picture that all honky-dory, everything is quite good and so on, which is not the case because if the ministry put the money in human settlement, they may use that money for your really general human settlement, not specifically because the project is not in budgetary, it does not have a specific vote number within the provinces. So I would want us to go back and reorganize ourselves in a manner that can infuse all those structural arrangements so that we are able to focus and deliver. But if you are saying the target was 476, for instance, that means per province you intended to build 52 houses. This is totally unacceptable. Remember, this is not a growing community. It's not a growing community, and they are not even included in the mega housing mega project. Extension 45 in Clayville, you will know, DG. A mega housing project which includes the rich and they are not, military veterans are not infused in those supply areas, including the proposed mega projects that are going around the country. I think we need to have a special structure, special coordination that will be able to reorganize the relations, because if you work with SALGA, SALGA, Association of Local Government. They're not really dealing with the nuts and bolts of the delivery of the human settlement. It's called human settlement because there must be other facilities. I mean, clinics, hospitals, and so on. So, and I know we'll discuss issues of the health later. But the point is that the case in point where Eden Park, you know, this house has been developed, you know, there's the issues of constraints and so on. So all I'm saying that I would propose that in final analysis, this is the meeting that has been held, but a consideration to go and reorganize with the people that are supposed to deliver the infrastructure and a suitable land for the military veterans be considered.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I'm just looking, I mean, at the background, page 3, that, I mean, a memorandum of understanding was signed in 2012 with, by, I mean, deputy ministers. And also, the second paragraph, the previous level agreement was also, I mean, signed with, I mean, heads of provincial of human settlement in 2014. Now, we are in 2019. Now, if, I mean, you give, I mean, this background, where are those agreements? Because it says here they are all signed by the provinces. It was going to be easy for us to look, I mean, at those, I mean, agreements if they were attached here. But unfortunately, they are not attached here to see what are the contents in those, I mean, agreements. And then, two, if I look, I mean, on page 5, on the breakdown of the houses delivered, I'm looking there, you could see that KwaZulu-Natal 1. I think it was going to be great if, I mean, the need analysis per province, I mean, was shown here in order for us to see if, say, one house was delivered in KwaZulu-Natal, the KZN, I mean, province, Department of Human Settlement, was signing for one house, or if at least one have a picture of, I mean, how many houses per province, so you can see they are all being played by those provinces in terms, I mean, by Department of New Settlement in those provinces. Yet again, I can see that it says in 2012-2015, 46,000, I mean, was transferred. And it was for 693 units. Also, again, Chairperson, if that can be clarified, of the 693 units, I mean, how many, I mean, per province? So you can see where is performance, where is not performance in those provinces. Chairperson, I'm worried about the issue. I'm not undermining the structure of SALGA as a structure. But I don't think the SALGA is accountable when it comes to the issue of tangible delivery to the people. I have a feeling that why we don't speak, say, maybe the department, say, culture, I mean, who's, I mean, taking care of the performance of municipalities when it comes to, you know, they are doing what you call the IDPs in municipalities, where all projects, I mean, are discussed. And then if, say, the projects that we are talking about for military veterans are not in the integrated development plan of a municipality, it's clear that we will have that problem. But I'm not undermining the structure of SALGA as a structure, but what I'm saying now, I feel engagement with SALGA when it comes to the issue of tangible delivery, I don't think going to assist in that matter. Again, we are told here that some of the houses that are meant for military veterans are currently occupied by the people who are not supposed to be. Now, isn't that when houses are built and analysis is done, I mean, the needs analysis, I mean, is done to see where do we have those people or not? We can't just build the houses, but if we know and where are those people, it's easier when the house is built and then the person is called to come in. But if I can be telling you the reasons, why are these houses being occupied by the wrong people? Where are the right people to occupy those houses? Thank you.
Yeah, Sherman, I think they've done completed the first round. The wheels are coming off, but I'm trying to pinpoint where are the wheels coming off. If you say to us, there's a memorandum of understanding to give effect to it, there's a service level agreement. To give effect to the service level agreement, each province has a target in the service level agreement, and the target and the budget. That's what they're telling us. And they're also telling us that there is even a list of 4,900 plus veterans. The list clearly will say, this is a mission list. Gauteng, in the special list we have 500 people. Here are the addresses of the 500 people. In City Bank. In City Bank, you have 500. For City Bank, you have 150. It's a clear direction, instruction to the department. 150 for this district in Gauteng. Ebuleni, we have 47 here. And then, and so on and so on. Then they've covered all the 40 streets, here is your 500. You can even drill down and say in the district, Ebuleni, right, here are the local municipalities where these people are found. So if there is a project, a housing project, in this municipality within this district, here's the list to consult. You avoid a situation where you have to move people from one district to the other district because of the hardship that would actually create. Then and so on, you come to KZN. KZN, we have 10 districts, and we have 1,000 on the list, and then this is a distribution per district, and this is a distribution within the district per municipality. If there is a project within municipality A, within the district X, so these are the names. So you must then consult this. So at least you have solved the problem. If there was any coordination, Deputy Minister, that list, in my view, will sort out the issue of coordination. You not have to fire in the dark, build houses for the people you don't know. Why would you build the houses for the people you don't know? Because we've been told that should there be a housing project within this district in this municipality, you have 50 people. Here are the names, and here are the, where they are. So if there's a project, the minister says, when there's a project, there must be a target for the military veterans. You can't look further than the list. In within this district, the list says so much. Within this municipality, it gives me this figure, and therefore that then gives you the target in respect of the district and the municipality within the district. You can't fire in the dark. Now, I think that's the question colleagues are asking. Where is the problem? I'm now taking it back. We are now answering the questions. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, may I start with some clarity? First of all, I'm not the DG, I'm the acting DG for strategic planning.
Okay.
Including military veterans.
Forgive you.
Thank you. Secondly, Minister, the proposal was not to change the specification. It was an offer of a stopgap should it be needed. But the program has remained constant. We've always planned for the 50 square meters only. But should there be a destitute person that needs a house and they can't wait. That offer is first then, because as read in the was a conference that was held with the military veteran Edgewood when this was agreed. So it was not just the department's view, it was a collective agreement. I think that clear. So the 145 has got nothing to do with military veterans. Military veterans houses are specifically set aside, and provinces make a submission specific for what they will be building on the territory. This is largely informed by the original number of 4,990, which was issued or given in 2015. And there was a breakdown check. The breakdown demonstrated that you, in that 4,990, there was the need of over 1,000 in housing, and the need of 231 in 532. So there was a breakdown. So we went to the numbers, and the provinces would then submit. We also tried ourselves to distribute according to the province, as we rightly said. So this work has been done. There's been mapping. We for GIS mapping. It's not just numbers. We work with our housing development agency to even get to know where people are situated and know that if we have to build, they are situated, including rural areas. We do build in rural areas. That sort of gives an indication that the work that has been done includes that. For instance, quick, when you say there are 380 houses invaded in Sakana by military, we don't know. Why we don't know is that because we focus on the military veterans program, we would not know when people invade houses. We would know there's an invasion, but who is invading, we won't know. But those that have invaded houses built for military veterans are military veterans. The problem is, when you look at some of them, and the ages, it's not military veterans, but it requires the process to sort out that. So those are the challenges we're dealing with. And when I'm saying the numbers vary, it's because we cannot count houses that have been invaded. They cannot be added in the numbers. We can only count numbers that we have a person and an ID linked to it. And that's the clarity I wanted to put forward, to say, yes, we agree together with our colleagues at TMP that the level of coordination that we need to embark on. The cleansing of the beneficiaries and the analysis is part of it. It's an acknowledgement, Minister, that there are gaps that need to be closed urgently. Because then it will assist us to know how far we have entered the number. What is the demand as we sit here? And you write it, it's a finite number. It should end. It cannot continue because military veterans, when we set out this number, actually, let me be clear on the 499. The 499 was the formation, all the formation, MK, APLA, and it was not including the standard and also the original formation that were already there, like Chokai, and then Mbukut as well. So that was specifically to deal with all that came from outside the country.
Then answer the question.
So we've been working towards this goal, and we're still on it. The Deputy Minister was fortunate because we spent quite a lot of time discussing the program and the challenges. In essence, we were planning to have a similar discussion together with the Deputy Minister in military veterans in order to harmonize some of these things and to review some of the elements of the MOU
Now, when you come to the SLE, I think the DMV will talk to them. But the money that was transferred, only one province still has money in its coffers, if you give it in. All other provinces spend that money and deliver according to the MLA. But KZN, as you can see, there is one house built. There's a story behind it as well.
I see that it's doing.
For instance, actually, yes. As a city, they approved 250 sites, and sites not only in everywhere. The integration we're talking about, suburbs and everywhere. The second part was economic emancipation of military, because it was part of the tender. There, such a thing. Because now they could not agree which contractor should be appointed. So we are only the service provider. The site is still there. It does not cease.
I think we're planning to make the incoming MEC and the formation that's missing.
In one area, we have sites where on the ground starting to build. The community that we don't have. So we've got all kinds of tensions that we deal with on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those tensions cannot come clearly. But I think if we are given an opportunity to take you through the history to date and where we're going, it may help to sort of bridge the gap, understanding that. I think in the house here, I know Shalende because he was in the other committee. There are certain things that are happening. There are also policy push and pulls that are happening. For instance, the numbers of Limpopo. In Limpopo, was generally building rural areas because people said we want to be built for the youth. So, Honorable Maki, I'm sorry for the area intervention. You know, when nature calls, But we're not saying yes, we have achieved our goal. Not at all. We're saying it started slow, but it's getting momentum. Once we have projected 500 from the National Department, the projects that are on the ground, which are being built, are far exceeding that number. But we have agreed with the colleagues at DMV that there are projects, where are the people? Are we going to have to move people from their social network, which is the problem, and move them to new areas? We've seen what happened in Berlin.
No. Don't go back to that. You have a list of beneficiaries given to you, and you know how many are given to the province A, and you can then drill down to the district and to the local municipality. The question, where is the problem?
Okay. My colleagues will answer to that. But all I'm trying to paint here is that it's a clarity. I'm not really drilling into things, but I am hoping that we will have an opportunity to present a historical account. Because we try to respond to what was given to us for the committee. And I can see that we did not present information adequately. We could have done better. Our policy chair. We would be more than prepared to then come and give an historical account.
Can we move? I'm having a temperature. We're not making any headway.
I think the issue of our level of planning needs to be revisited as the Department of Military Veterans, and also our level of coordination with our sister department is something we need to look at. Why I'm saying that from our side, the challenge we've been having, probably this is what also is putting pressure on the side of human settlement, is that we're not necessarily giving them, that's what has been happening, not giving them names of the people as military veterans confirmed One. Two, not only confirm as a military veteran, also that the member does qualify for a house, because the system of human settlement, which then verifies once you give the name, then because of the properties, whether it's a site which is not built, whether it's the family house somewhere in a township happened to be in the name of the person, then according to the system, the person does not qualify. So this is what we're grappling with. Some of the main people which we seem to be having a challenge with the definition is people who are classified as the SDUs, self-defense units, because in terms of the definition of the military veteran, then they do not qualify. So these are some of the people who land up to issues of illegal occupation. But I think we take note of all that has been said in terms of going back to our MOUs, make sure that it's updated, because it was at least has been there for some time. Go back to our service agreement with the provinces, and also check the issue of geolocation. This is what we're working on, of where are these military and who are in need of houses, and provide a name list to Department of Human Settlement with names of the people we know, where they are, and they qualify, not just for them to go through the process. I think that's what we need to look at there. As for the...
So in other words, you did not give them a list with names. That's what you are saying. If there were no names, it means that the criteria were, in terms of the law was not done. That's what we are getting.
The name list which they were given is name list of people who were eager to get houses. Then they had to look at that. Well, they were looking at that to confirm that these individuals do qualify for a house or not, or they for the property. Then a number of them fall off. And two, in our own system too, with that list, we've got to make sure that we give them real military veterans. If we don't do that, then there's going to be a problem.
And the meeting ends. In other words, the department has not done its work. So if the department has not done the most fundamental department military veteran to ensure that the list they hand over to the Department of Human Settlement is credible. It has the people, the names, the contact details, and they have been processed in terms of their own qualification. At least from the point of view of the act that governs the military veterans. Whether they qualify in terms of your act, the act of Department of Housing, that's another issue. So it means that thing was never done.
Yeah.
All right? So for me, it says, you know, that's where the problem starts. Mr. Deputy?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I'll come back to the minister.
Yeah.
May I ask the Deputy Minister to close the discussion at
yeah.
the end, because there will be comments,
yeah.
Deputy Minister and the Minister. And Matthias, oh, Mr. Philip, the Matthias, and then we close.
You know, we can't have 7 years to address 5,000 houses.
Mm-hmm.
Private sector, one project across the freeway, they're busy. Within a shorter space of time, and we are government. 7 years along the line, we can't build 4,490 projects of housing. No, this is not serious. Number two, Chairperson, number two, let's declare, I'm saying within the next financial year, before the end of the sixth parliament, we should not be speaking about the house of military veterans, because they will be built all across the provinces. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Matthias?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. I'm not feeling well. A bit dizzy because of flu, but I've been following the proceedings. I agree with Honorable Member and yourself, Chair, that what we have been presented with here is just half wet. I'm afraid that someone has been sleeping on duty. Someone is fast asleep at work, and there should be consequences for sleeping on duty. I'm of a view that the Department of Human Settlement and as well as military veterans, they have not done their work, and they ought to be instructed to go back and
do their work, prepare quality report, not what could be reduced into a thumbs-up or some desktop laziness. We cannot tolerate this. The ritualistic way of just writing over some glossy reports must come to an end. This borders on bureaucratizing the system. For 5 years, for 7 years, we struggle with these few numbers of 5,000 people that we know, if indeed we do know these people. I'm afraid we might find ourselves that way. We don't know exactly the number of people that we supposed to deal with. And I'll give one example, Honorable Chair. In 2017, February, the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans presented a report that as of the 29th of the 31st of March 2016.
Excuse me, Mr. Matthias, the Minister is taking this due to a commitment that is now overlapping with this meeting. Thanks much, Minister.
As of that date, the 31st of March 2016, about 71,811 military veterans had registered on the database of the department. 71,811. Of that number, how many of the military veterans qualify for housing provision? Is it 4,909 that is presented here, or there's a different figure? Of 71,811. Secondly, in concurrence with what Honourable Member just said, the MINMEC of 2018 resolved that there must be provision of houses for the last financial year of 1,421 military veterans. And in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework of the department, a target of 5,000 military veterans was identified for provision of houses. Now, if we have to look at all of these figures, which if we have to weigh them downwards from the bigger number of 71,811 and the report we have received this morning, one, we don't know, we have not quantified the number of military veterans that we have to work on for provision of houses. We cannot even say where they are in the country. We, in a very half-hearted manner, report here some report which really is less than satisfactory. Now, my submission, lastly, the Department of Human Settlement and Military Veterans must go back and prepare a quality report. And I guess some of them are from Pretoria, if I'm not mistaken. And those who are from Pretoria, the committee must take a decision that the money that they have used of the taxpayers' money to travel from Pretoria to here, or from Johannesburg, or from wherever they come from, must be recovered from these officials. We cannot allow this kind of conduct. It's unacceptable, ladies and gentlemen. Completely unacceptable. The money we have spent travel to Cape Town must be recovered from your good self. We've got no time to play. We've got military veterans who are dying out there, who die waiting for houses to be delivered to themselves and to their beneficiaries. And you sit here as if you've got all the time in the world. So I recommend strongly that the consequences must happen, must occur, so that officials start to take our people, not this parliament, not this committee, start to take our people seriously.
Thanks. Mr.
Mutler. Thank you, Chairperson. I think, one, the DMV must, I think we agree anonymously that they must cleanse their database. And they must consult structures of veterans in that process. Secondly, these military veterans we are talking about, they don't sit somewhere in some planet that we don't know. They reside within one. They reside within municipalities. Therefore, it is necessary to engage with the local government where they reside, so that you have an understanding of where they are, what are the service, municipal service conditions where they reside. But lastly, Chair, their memorandum of agreement, if it does not bear fruit, you agree that you are going to sit and engage. If that engagement does not bear fruit in this financial year, we can't wait for human settlement to get its house in order. We know for a fact even those 45 square meter houses in rural areas where they construct, they ensure that they approve list of people that they build for. There is no way that they just build and say no. Religiously, people will come and look for houses. They don't do that. Why is it difficult when it comes to military veterans? And I don't agree with the phenomenon that says that the responsibility of constructing houses lies only with the human settlement. Ekurhuleni as a municipality is constructing houses. It's not waiting for human settlement. They are doing that themselves. The Department of Education in Limpopo, through its agency called some agency, it is constructing schools and abolition facilities. It is not waiting for Department of Public Works. Department of Education in Free State constructs its schools. It's not waiting for Public Works. It has not delegated those powers. If push comes to push, the Department of Military Veteran must get out of that memorandum of understanding and begin to deliver this project on their own. Finish and plan, because you must account directly, you'll be able to implement this faster than they are doing, because they, to them it is not a project, it's a program. If I got it right or the other way around. So
yes.
It is not a serious matter that they treat with agency, because they put a lot in their hands. It is your mandate. If they are unable, take it back and deliver on your own. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much.
DM,
thank you very much, Chair. I want to start by saying these are marching orders. We've heard you, both military veterans and human settlements will go back and come back with a better presentation. I want to say, as a government, we work in silos besides military veterans and human settlements. I'm taking from what you are raising that we do work in silos. That's what it means. It means the whole department, or not only department, government, must learn to work as a cluster, so that we know what the right hand is doing. Chair, I want to say the names of the people that will be confirmed will come from the military veteran. And I want us to start back, not only the list when we come and present. It's something that we did not talk about. We spoke of the land, But let's agree again on the land before we even go and build houses. It should be part of the presentation that which land are we talking about, and also military veterans must be part of that identification of the land. So that, because I know in some areas people raise many things that I know of. I'm from the sector of water and sanitation. Here, where you cannot put taps without reservoir because there will be no water. Definitely, when you identify a place for building houses, it should not be far from where people are, from the cities. We should agree on that. Also, municipalities must also be involved, not only military veterans and us. Municipalities are also doing their own thing, which must be corrected by you. So I think that we've learned from this discussion. It's my first meeting. I'm new in this department, but I've raised some of the questions that you've raised. The coordination of the list, where do you get it from? When they were saying the list is endless. So it means military veterans did not give human settlements the list. So let's go back, clean our house, come back here, check, and apologize to you that we made, you know, mistakes on the way. And coming back, I want us to also not leave out the issue of the land where we are going to build houses. It should be the understanding of the military veterans that we're building house. And again, the last thing, Chair, that even before we build those houses and the land, the list must come here and be presented of each province. In that way, we will have a list which is going to come and to an end. Because there are new veterans now. People that call themselves veterans, that we know that they're not veterans. So we are politicians, Chair. We're not here because we have fat CVs or better CVs. We know these things. There are people, and it's difficult for officials to say, you are not a military veteran. It's only that one will be sorted by politicians to say, that one, you know him. They might see the age, but they have no courage to say, you are not a veteran. It's only the us that can say so. That is why I say, even before we even build houses, the list must be presented before you. I thank you, Shane.
All right. Is it possible to, let's do this. I'm not too sure if it is right now for 2019-2020, to say this is the target. We stay, let's stay with the target because you'll be measured according to the target. And then working from this target, here is the list. And if we say that they must start with purifying the bigger list, the database list, it's going to take ages. Let's talk about this segment, the list of beneficiaries. I want to make an example of the 4,900. Okay, that number is not 70,000. It's 4,900. All right? So this list of beneficiaries, and which is verified beneficiaries who are on the list because they meet the criteria. So it's clear, here's the list. You can put your name on the block on this list. This list must then be broken down by province, by district, by municipality. Okay? Because I assume that the verification will give you the name, because you can't even start to qualify it if you don't know the name. The name, the address, and the name, the address. Yeah, so those are the that's the key information on it. All right? And then that's the list. Sorry.
Sorry. All right. So now, it means that you have a segment of the database of, it's now the list of beneficiaries that are earmarked to benefit in terms of this current financial year or over the next two financial year or over the MTF, because you know the budget. You know how many people you will cover over the MTF. That's a list you take to the Department of Human Settlement. The Department of Settlement must then take this list and then link each name on the list, because they now know who stays in what, to a project that is coming up in the municipality. Because let's say you are in Eduleni, and there's a project coming up, and you have 20 people. They must then link those 20 people, is 20, or whatever number, to the project. All I know, the Department of Human Settlement will still have to qualify them, you know, to in terms of their own qualification framework. You may actually give them the list of 50, and only to find that only 30 of the 50 qualifies. At least for project that is coming up in Eguleni and the local municipality A, this is the 20 that is waiting to be allocated houses in project A. They are linking them to the project. I'm not just talking general, because you know that there's a project coming up and you've got the names. And then we do the same for all municipalities and you present the list to us. And we'll then measure your performance against that list. I consider that should be the starting point. Do you want to add, colleagues, to this? Otherwise, we will come back and fire in the dark like we have been doing. Do you have any difficulty with that, General? In other words, we're not asking you to do anything different, but we're asking is for you, General, to verify the list and assure them that their names and the names who are on the list have been qualified, and they are known by the district, by the province, by the district, by the local municipality, and the list that you hand over to the colleagues in the human settlement.
Chair, it's quite clear and simple, Chair, and it's well.
Think so? Any other thing, colleagues? Yes, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I still would say, when we send that through, they must give us timelines for the database cleaning, verification, and everywhere. Because if that is not done, there will never be any movement. It doesn't only affect housing, it affects dependents and every other thing that happens in DMV. So at least if they can send us something that we can hold on, or we would have finished this, or whatever they say, we might be halfway within this time, because everybody has been talking for the past 7 years about cleaning this thing. It means that these military veterans are increasing, and according to my understanding, military veterans are supposed to be extinct at some stage. It's a diminishing species, and they can't keep on increasing. Thank you.
Maybe you can ask this question. How long will it take you to complete the list? That would then be the timeline we're giving you.
President Chair, through you again. We talk about a fee of something like 37,000 when we talk in terms of what we have in the database. The challenge we've been having, what happened in the past, these names are the names which might get at indication of the fine. In terms of CD-ROM to DMV, no files, nothing. And when you begin to look at those, you don't have a file, you don't have... So we have to work on that as a department. So out of that, we are able to say about 45,000 now, we are able to link them in terms of the place and wherever they are, in terms of the contact numbers. What we've been missing is to link up with the Department of Defense, which we have done, and we've gone to the archives, and we've taken on the list of those who came together in terms of the 35% register from all the formations. And we've gone to the archives, we've got people working in the archives. this week we're supposed to have received additional 13,000, which has been a deferred processing. And we're also going to Home Affairs. We're with Home Affairs, working with them. We are able also to check through the IDs, including the information that's available there. So we are working on that. So one would say we should be, things being equal, by end of December, to have a sense of the 60,000-70,000 people who we have. Because we've got a challenge that in our database, speaking to the Defense Force, 7,000 of whatever we're calling 77,000 supposed to be passed on, no longer alive. But go to Home Affairs, they give you a figure of 17,000. We begin to use that system from Home Affairs. So this is what we're busy cleaning now and working with the Department of Defense. But I would say by December, we should have a sense of where we are.
Okay. So we'll get the progress report by the end of the year, 31st December 2019. Mm-hmm. So that's a report we'll get from them on the update on the status of the database.
The challenge we're facing also is that whilst we're doing this, once you clean the database, you want to keep it secure. Unfortunately, we're working with SETA, and SETA is the one which, in fact, are not necessarily able to assist us in terms of the IT system to provide that kind of security and credibility of the database. So it can be contaminated, but we are working with SETA, and they've been working with, I don't know how many years, but we've not managed to get to that. But we're looking at that.
So we're committing you to the 31st of December 2019. And we're now talking things that they must do,
yeah,
and then come back to us. Mr. Market?
One very interesting thing, in that process, I would like to know, what are they going to do about those that didn't qualify but are already staying in the houses, are already having dependents that are, maybe you can just, in the
Mr.
report.
Mr.
Yeah.
I think let's first deal with the database. Mm-hmm. Once we've got the database, we can then say, now we have the base upon which to start moving forward.
Yes.
Okay. So that we don't sink. Otherwise, they would never come back. They would run away and never come back.
I agree with you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Murray?
sorry.
Matthias?
The two say themselves
related.
We must talk about the relations in your input.
You make me get worried.
Sense of humor.
Good company.
It would be a company of the incomparable.
How much you say?
But look, Chair, let's be clear. Do we give them until end of, well, December?
Yeah.
Just
No. That tool is, Mr. Matthias, is the database. Realizing the amount of projectors to go into it, we are giving them until the end of the 31 December. But is this segment the list of beneficiaries? All right? It's true, it will be drawn from the database, but they can prioritize it because the work is already underway. There are targets, there's a budget, and which must be used in this year and next year and the other year. Thanks.
December will be a bit late because Parliament will be on recess, and I will be in the country where Mr. Murray comes from for a holiday. I don't know which country. So let's bring it a little bit forward. Let's bring it a little bit forward. That's the first thing. Secondly, let's leave here with a common understanding that the Department of Military Veterans do not know, or does not know how many military veterans beneficiaries are eligible for housing, or to be provided with housing. The 4,990 is the wrong figure. They still have to work and clean that number. That should be the understanding. And secondly, which I would make as a submission,
We know that the department has set aside 188,000 for to be the house for military veterans. And on top of that allocation, added 78,000. Now, there are different models of houses that are out there in the market which can be constructed. Now, when they come to report on a substantive aspect of housing construction, they need to tell us and to be clear as to houses that have been built for those that have already received houses. Such houses fit the amount that is set aside for such houses. We don't want houses here with one bedroom for 266,000. One bedroom, 266. Now, no, there are different...
One of them below. The loan is 50 square meter house. That's a loan.
Now, if that 50 square meter house, if you look at it and quantify it qualitatively, it's far less than 266,000.
No, let's not change that. Let's not change that. They're working on that, Mr. Matthias. That's a square meter or 50,000, what you call it? Yeah.
Honorable Chair.
Yes. I know it's less.
We need to cut the fat.
Yeah.
We need to cut the fat and cut the bureaucracy and people who benefit as entrepreneurs and all sorts of things in the construction of a house. And if we have set aside this amount for a proper house for military veterans, that money must be spent on that. And not a quarter or whatever fraction of it should be lost in the system. That's the point I'm making. So as they come, having prepared a very substantive report, they should be able to present to us when such house has been built and at what cost, and what type of house is it? Is it a social house, or is it for community residential house, is it for rental, or is the house converted from a hostel or something like that? Such information must be presented here when they come next time to report substantively on the work that we ask them to report, not forgetting that money spent for this day for them traveling down here must be recovered from that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Colleagues, I'm sure you we have not even touched on delivery models that can be used outside the Department of Human Settlement. We're talking about you utilizing the Department of Human Settlement. We've not even discussed the bond rescue. You know, where you circle the bonds that are up to the threshold allowable. We've not even discussed that. Mm-hmm. Because when you come back, you must also give us a report on this. Whether you are able to utilize any other delivery agency other than the Department of Housing, if not, why, and all that, and two, the bond rescue. We'll discuss that when you come back. For now, we're talking about using human settlement as an option. Minister, you're the last, Deputy Minister, the last person to talk on this matter, and then, have you spoken?
Yeah.
Oh, have she?
Yeah,
I'm glad that she. Yeah, I know. I'm being exposed. Dr. Shannon.
No, Chairperson, whilst I agree that, say, let them go back and do the proper work before it is presented to us. But, Chairperson, sometimes, you know, issues are raised which are causes of what we are seeing now. In the previous presentation, I think it was done by the department, it was raised that some of the causes why the military veterans database not getting verified and finalized is because of, the incompetent staff or they are working in the department. And there was something that was recommended, the skills audit in the department. That checking, because we carry on saying go and come back and do it. If those problems are raised, looked and see if, they can pass through those challenges. Chairperson, if there is, an answer here, that skills audit was done or not, if it was not done, it is telling me that in the next presentation, we may see the same problem where, the database is not verified and it's not finalized.
So when we meet next, we'll take a presentation on the structure of the department as a whole. Only then we'll discuss those issues. But when we meet them, so that must be on the agenda. They are organical. And the filling of post vacancies and all that, whatever it is. So we'll craft it well. All right, colleagues, I think we've come to the end. Let me thank the department. For now, what Mr. Matthias was proposing as a penalty, I will ask the EFF to pay it on your behalf. So you are exempted. But